Hello and welcome to the Forte Edge, your monthly podcast on all things legal tech, hosted by Forte Markets. My name is Armand, and this month we will be talking about the impact of legal tech on legal recruitment. We are joined by Jeremy Small, the CEO of Jameson Legal, a global recruitment firm. Jeremy works with leading law firms and in-house clients on senior strategic global placements. His clients include top US and UK law firms, sovereign wealth funds, and major corporates. During the past decade, he has made significant partner and team hires within London, the Middle East, and Asia, as well as assisting law firms to establish new international offices with a particular focus on the UAE and Singapore. Welcome, Jeremy. If you want to talk about your background a little bit first and how you came to work at Jameson Legal.
Yes, thanks, Armand. Thanks for that great introduction. That's very kind of you. So my background, like many legal recruiters, I guess, started off in law. I was a lawyer working for a couple of major UK law firms. And initially, I worked for a shipping law firm called Ince & Co. Before I transitioned into a corporate private equity role with Pinsent Masons in London. I realized relatively early on that I didn't foresee law being a career I wanted to be in for a long time, but I struggled a bit to sort of work out what I could do or what else was out there for me. I ended up taking a complete break from law and moving to Singapore with my wife. And after a sort of a little bit of time finding myself, I guess, I fell into legal recruitment, working in a small boutique in Singapore, and was lucky enough with timing that it was a time when a lot of law firms were moving out from London or moving out from the US to Asia and the Middle East. And so I was fortunate enough to be able to work with some of those firms to establish their offices in Singapore and in the Middle East, and also, you know, there was a huge amount of hiring going on around Asia and the Middle East. So my experience was an exciting one to start with at a time when things were really booming. I then transitioned back to London after about 6 years in Singapore and decided it was time to establish my own company. So I started from home just after the global economic crisis. And over time, over the last sort of 10, 11 years, we've been able to build up the office and the company to around about 25 consultants. We have offices in London, Abu Dhabi, Singapore, and Hong Kong. And, we've seen a lot of transition during that time. And in addition to that, recently I started to get more involved in legal technology after being approached by a legal technology company called App for Legal, which provides a full range of services on the practice management side. So that's kind of opened my eyes up a little bit to legal technology and, you know, a totally different area of business. But it ties in very well with what I do in terms of advising law firms and companies in terms of their hiring. I now have a separate string to the bow, being able to talk a little bit about legal technology as well. So that's, an area that I'd really like to continue to develop.
Thanks a lot for that, Jeremy. And that really sounds like a very interested and inspiring journey. So one thing I would like to start with is, since we're talking about legal tech in general, how would you define legal tech?
Okay. Well, I'd probably say that I'm not really an expert in terms of legal tech. It's more of an area that I'm learning a lot about. But I would say that legal tech is all about making lawyers' lives more efficient and providing technology solutions to enable them to take out some of the monotonous tasks that have previously been done, by lawyers and paralegals. I know from my own experience being a paralegal many years ago at Lovell's in London, just doing document review exercises that now can be done a lot quicker with technology. I think in terms of a definition, it's really about providing support to the legal industry and also allowing them to use technology solutions to interact with their clients in a better way.
No, that's really a great definition. And I think it's very interesting to have the vision as well of someone who doesn't come from legal tech. So I think that really reflects the point of legal tech. Since you've moved on to work in legal recruitment, on the other hand, I would ask you, how you sort of approach legal recruitment, and why is legal recruitment very important?
Well, I think that there continues to be a war for talent, really, you know, in many areas of work. But in terms of in the legal sector, there's a demand for high quality lawyers who can, you know, come into a firm or into an in-house legal team and add value to that team. The market is constantly shifting and changing depending on economic circumstances, depending on workflows, depending on new areas of business. So I think that legal recruitment will continue to be important for firms, particularly in terms of a strategic level recruitment. So at the partner level, at the senior in-house level, and then those associates in areas of growth, you know, that are in high demand. What we've seen is that demand for high quality lawyers has continued to be strong. Even throughout the pandemic, there was an initial lull, but since the summer months, law firms and in-house teams have got to grips really with the issues that we're facing, and there's still strong demand to hire lawyers into roles. So I think that from a legal recruitment perspective, a legal research perspective, we continue to see high demand across, you know, many jurisdictions and across many practice areas.
And I guess, of course, as you said, legal recruitment is also subject to sort of external trends. And one of them, obviously, is technology. So first of all, I would ask you, since you've been going into that and discovering as well that field of legal tech, what, if any, have you seen as an impact of technology on legal recruitment? Is technology utilized in legal recruitment?
In terms of legal recruitment, I would say it is a developing area. There's certainly no significant killer app that is removing the need for recruiters or headhunters at the moment. I would say that there are technologies out there which both help and hinder, I guess, the world of legal recruiters. So there are obviously platforms like LinkedIn, which use technology. They kind of play both sides. On the one hand, they are helping employers to recruit directly, but on the other hand, they're helping recruitment businesses to have an insight into candidates on the platform to be able to recruit under their own mandates. So that is one technology. In terms of law firms themselves, I think they again would like to reduce their spend on recruiters, and there's perhaps an emphasis to use technology to enable direct applications from candidates. There's also the ability to use platforms like LinkedIn and other software tools to reach out to research markets and reach out to candidates. But I genuinely feel that, you know, recruitment is not just about getting a CV across to a client. It's really more about the relationship, the understanding of exactly what the client is looking for, the connections built up over years, the insight into different markets. So I think from my own perspective, I'm confident that technology won't completely remove the need for good legal recruiters to be in the market, but there's a need for those people doing the work to have, you know, a very strong skill set, very strong understanding of the markets they operate in, good connections, and be a sort of trusted advisor to the firms and the in-house teams that they work with. And provided they do that, there's plenty of demand for that service, because at the end of the day, still a lot of it requires relationships, not just technology to connect one person to another.
For sure. And also that, I also think this links to the sort of, as technology is slowly developing in the legal sector, we've seen a rising use of some technologies like automation in legal recruitment. For instance, we're seeing those tools to research candidates, to analyze their CVs sometime, and to drive recruitment decisions. And while some praise it, others also point out the risk of those methods, and notably the risk of bias. And I would have two questions for you in relation to that. The first one is whether or not you've noticed such a use of technology in the context of legal recruitment. And my second question would be, what do you think of it? Do you think it's a good thing that should be more widely used? As you said, do you think that we should still have human beings analyzing profiles and recruiting people?
Yeah, that's a very good question. I think, it's a sort of double-edged sword, really. If you automate the process and you decide on which candidates to interview or to take forwards without a human element, then there is a chance that there will be a bias in that approach, simply because of the inequalities that certain people face, in terms of education, in terms of opportunity that they have. And if you're just looking at academics, or if you're just looking at certain factors in order to decipher who to take to the next stage, there is a danger in that. But there's always been a danger in that, really, because, you know, from the time I applied for my training contracts, 20, 25 years ago, if you didn't have a 2-1, you didn't come from the right university or have the right background, you were definitely at a disadvantage. I went to a state school, and I always felt at a little bit of a disadvantage in terms of making those applications, because firms were receiving thousands of applications and making decisions to cut, very quickly, because they had to do that. I think the plus point could be that it does take away some of the human bias that there is in law firms by having this automation. And I know firms have got a hell of a lot better than they used to be at, being less discriminative with applications. Again, my own experience back in the day was with the firm that I joined as a trainee, was that they had 55 male partners and 2 female partners. So things have moved on a lot since then. But, in terms of the unconscious bias, I still think there is a potential for that with automation. I know that there are certain very good advisory entities that are springing up to help advise law firms and companies on the matter of equality. And it is possible actually to put in place some methods that actually would give more of a precedence to candidates, even though they may not have got, the highest academic grades. By the technology, they can be given additional weighting depending on, the type of school that they went to, or the college that they went to, or their background, to allow them to be considered at a better level when they're being considered by those firms. So I think that sort of technology could be useful to give more of a level playing ground than there is at the moment.
Yes, for sure. And this is also what you said. I think double-edged sword is really the word. There has to be a right balance in how we use it, of course. Now, as we've said, you've worked on hires all over the world, in London, the Middle East, in Asia. Do you think that technology is helping to recruit globally and recruit more diverse and international profiles, and helping as well have hires across different jurisdictions? Do you think that among the hires that you've worked on, technology again has helped develop a more international presence and for candidates to find more opportunities abroad as well?
Yes, definitely. I mean, in my instance, as both a lawyer and a legal recruiter, I've seen the market itself change dramatically as law firms have become more international and companies themselves have become more multinational. So, recruiters and technology has really adapted to the globalization of legal services. From my own perspective, there are key tools which can be used to give us the highest potential marketplace for lawyers to be considered. So, there are mapping tools now, such as Legal Monitor, which map hundreds of global law firms, and so you can search on those platforms and really understand who is available in different markets at a high degree of detail. I think LinkedIn itself and the various levels of LinkedIn Recruiter, is very helpful in terms of giving consultants the biggest universe of candidates and, you know, quick tools to find those candidates for any role that they may be given. Also, you know, in terms of advertising of roles, those roles can now be advertised extremely quickly and globally on various platforms to allow lawyers that are based anywhere in the world to, you know, see the opportunities and apply for the opportunities and connect with consultants over Zoom quickly, or, you know, via WhatsApp when they're chatting as well. So, you know, technology is really just being used to help communication and to help broaden the universe of candidates that are available for roles. But the difference now is that firms are also far more open to, you know, globalizing their workforces as well. So the reason that we've been involved in so many global moves is because firms want a diverse range of candidates and are servicing a very diverse range of clients. So that's why it's not unusual for lawyers to move from Asia to London, or from Australia to the Middle East, or the US to Africa. It really doesn't matter anymore. It's all about getting the best skills into the right opportunities. And that is a totally global business now.
Thanks a lot. And yeah, I think it's exactly as well as you said on this idea of having more competition globally, but that also helps driving talents being where they are most needed. So on another note, following the pandemic, I was wondering, in your perspective at Jameson Legal, have you seen a decline in recruitment because of the lack of face-to-face interactions? Or has technology like Zoom or Teams still completely enabled recruitment through virtual interviews? And maybe was that even the case before?
Yeah, no, this is definitely a very interesting change in how recruitment has been taken forward by law firms and in-house teams. Historically, you know, the use of things like Zoom or video conferencing, you know, was done by a range of clients, but it was much more formalized. So you would, you know, people would arrange a video conference a week or two in advance. People would have to go to an office, or, you know, it wasn't something that people generally did from their laptop. And it was quite formalized, it was quite expensive, and there were providers of these conferencing facilities around the world. So, you know, this has been going on for quite some time, but it was much more laborious exercise to arrange. Since the pandemic, what we've seen is a far greater use of these technologies, and much more of an acceptance of it being far less formalized. You know, the acceptance that you might have your pets wandering in the background, or your children screaming in the background, and it therefore being far cheaper and far quicker to organize. So we've seen clients after, you know, a couple of months of initial quiet on the recruitment front, when firms are really trying to understand what was going on and work out whether they were going to be hiring anyone at all, to a situation where firms and businesses are now very happy to ask their recruiters to arrange these virtual interviews very quickly, en masse, and actually go through the whole process virtually. Whereas before, you know, in my experience, you might have had one or two interviews virtually, but it was quite rare to have the whole process done that way, unless it was, say, a candidate coming from, you know, Australia to London or something like that. That might have been done purely virtually. But most of the time, there needed to be a face-to-face element, whether that meant that lawyer going into an office in Australia where the firm has a presence, or, you know, or even having to come all the way to London or to whichever jurisdiction they were getting hired in. So that's kind of gone out the window now, and firms are just happy to generally hire virtually. And in some ways, for me, it's actually improved our business, because, you know, for many years in certain jurisdictions, it'll be very unlikely that anyone would be hired virtually, and processes could take a very long time. So, for example, would be the Middle East. You know, these processes could take 3, 6, 9 months to get through because of logistics. But now the processes are much more streamlined, much quicker. And I don't see any sort of drop off in terms of quality, in terms of the process. I mean, it is always great to have somebody meeting, you know, their future employers, their future teams in person, but most people have adapted really quickly to it. So from my sort of point of view, it's been actually quite positive in that regard, you know, the use of technology.
Great. Thank you so much for that insight. I was wondering if you also had seen in that process of virtual interviews, of virtual hirings, some benefits that were specific to the virtual process, or on the other hand, whether you had seen some drawbacks to virtual interviews, maybe more hiring mistakes or more difficulties in sort of getting a sense of how the candidate is like.
Yeah, I think in terms of the benefits, as I said, it's everyone can jump on a Zoom, or pretty much everyone can jump on a Zoom at short notice. So things can be quickly organized, open to all. And I would say that what we are seeing is a democratization, I guess, of the interview process by that. And it opens it up to more international candidates, because previously, if firms wanted to meet people in person, that would exclude a lot of international candidates. But now there's an ability actually to be seen and have a good an opportunity as someone who's on the ground. Obviously, there is something lost when it's done virtually. You know, when you're meeting someone in person and you're visiting their office or you're seeing their environment, from both sides, there's benefit in doing that. And that has been lost during the pandemic. I think what will happen going forward is that there'll be a balance. You know, there'll continue to be a lot of virtual technology used, but there will also be an interest where possible to meet people in person. And I think that's from both the client and the candidate side. There are other tools and technologies which are taking off, including software. There's one provider called Odro, which allows employers to prepare questions which go to a candidate, and the candidate then, in their own time, answers those questions. And that allows more sort of en masse recruitment from firms. So they could actually send their questions out to 10, 15 candidates at the same time, get them back, look at the questions, review them, circulate them amongst their team. And that may allow them then to sort of see a broader universe of candidates. Whereas before, as I said, you know, organizing a VC might have taken a couple of weeks and at great expense. So, you know, that's another benefit, that it actually allows firms to broaden and make more efficient their interviewing processes, really consider people rather than just looking at a CV, and move forwards, you know, in a more efficient way.
Definitely. And I think in the end, it all comes down to what we were saying about finding that balance, whether it's in the recruitment, whether it's in the legal tasks and the legal work itself, and also to remote working too, which will come down in a second. But it's really about finding that balance of having technology being utilized, but not completely removing all our in-person interactions.
Absolutely.
I think the next question then will be whether or not, I mean, I guess this is what we also discussed, but do you think that eventually there is a risk of going towards the recruitment of virtual employees? So will firms in the future maybe hire employees permanently working from home, or is that rather unlikely?
I think it's very likely, actually. And I don't necessarily see it as a terrible thing, depending on the person who chooses to take up such a role. What I mean by that is we are seeing greater opportunities for employees to work in different ways, whether that's partly from home, partly from the office when that becomes a possibility, or whether it's working 100% from home with a firm. That is also becoming a reality, which, you know, would have surprised everyone up until, you know, the pandemic. So what we're seeing actually, and I view it in a positive way, is that there are now multiple ways in which a lawyer can work with a firm or work with a an in-house team, where there is a much less of an expectation that you spend your time in the office working most of the time, and that it's more about you getting on with your role, wherever that may be. There's also a drive for lawyers now to use technology to collaborate, bearing in mind that they're not all in one physical location. They will be working from home, some will be in the office, some might be traveling, but everyone can connect and interact well over the various platforms that are available. So what we're seeing, this is also driving a growth in what you could call virtual law firms or new law firms. We've seen a proliferation of law firms being established over the pandemic period, which has kind of supercharged what was happening already. So we already had firms like Keystone and others, which were not traditional firms, but were firms that attracted lawyers who were kind of tired of the traditional system, had some clients and wanted their own freedom to do the hours they wanted and work from where they wanted. So that was an attractive opportunity, but one which was only open to a certain type of person, generally a person that had their own client base, was at a certain place in their career. But what we've seen now is a proliferation of virtual law firms operating on all sorts of different models. Some will provide work to lawyers, so lawyers don't need to bring their own clients. They can decide what days they work and what work they choose to do. So there are one of those firms is called Lawbyte, which is fast growing, which essentially offers that opportunity. And it's an attractive proposition to certain lawyers, because if, for example, you have other interests, or you want to look after your children, you could decide that you could work 5 afternoons a week or 3 days a week to allow you to have more time for other things, or more time for your children, or more time for other roles even as well. So this would have been almost impossible just a few years ago. And what we're seeing is there's now, big competition amongst virtual law firms to both grow in the UK, but also internationally. And what I foresee is that this will continue to move very fast now. We're going to see a globalization of virtual platforms with lawyers working from around the world offering their services. And the traditional law firms are going to have to adapt to that, because working for one of these virtual law firms can be, very attractive. You can receive a very high percentage of your billable time. You can have a lot of freedom. You can choose the hours you want. You don't necessarily have to bring in clients. The trade-off is, you don't have maybe the brand of the firm that you're used to, the environment, the opportunity to work in a much bigger firm, etc. So there are trade-offs, but I would say it's becoming more and more popular to work on a tech-based platform than in a traditional law firm environment. And that's certainly been one of the biggest changes I've witnessed from the changes arising from the pandemic.
Through your work at Jameson Legal, do you see technology becoming a factor in recruitment decisions? So, for instance, legal tech awareness in candidates, or is that not yet a thing?
I think it's still in the early days, and many firms are still getting to grips with the use of legal technology. We're only really at the start of the journey. A lot of the legal technology available is really targeting tasks which lawyers currently do to make them more efficient, et cetera. But I think the changes will start to increase and pick up speed. So I would always advise anyone entering the legal profession to spend time getting to grips with legal technology. I think that the course, the LTIC, is a great way for law students and lawyers to get ahead in terms of their understanding of what is out there on the legal technology side, get some training in certain platforms. And, this is the future. I think every lawyer going forwards is going to have to get to grips with legal technology if they're going to want to be competitive. And I think that law firms themselves will start to see legal tech more as a skill that needs to be integrated into everything they do than a sort of a side platform that people should understand. And the difficulty is that obviously all the law firms are generally run by senior lawyers who will, by their definition, not really have had this experience in legal technology. The drive probably needs to come from the junior ranks. And we may see law firms changing and becoming, or managed or run by far more junior people that really get to grips with the technology side of things. And I think that's an exciting time, actually. It's an exciting thing for lawyers entering the profession is that there will be opportunities for them, if they really get to grips with legal technology, to take leadership positions or start their own firms or take roles that are, exciting opportunities in virtual law firms or tech-based law firms of the future.
Definitely. Thank you. And I guess finishing on a broader note, how do you see the legal profession and legal recruitment post-pandemic? Are some trends here to stay? Are there some long-term perspectives and some fundamental shifts to see in how we've adapted to the pandemic?
Yes, I mean, I think that certain roles within the legal profession will be affected by technology. Not just legal roles, but also the likes of PAs and administrative support. I think we're going through an era when technology is aiming to make law firms more efficient and take away some of the more menial tasks. So, for example, you will have the need for fewer administrative staff and paralegals, because the technology will make the work quicker and more efficient. However, on the positive side, I think there will be more opportunities going forwards for people to work in legal technology roles. There will be a proliferation of legal technology roles amongst all law firms and also in-house teams with the growth of legal operations teams. So I think if you're entering the profession and may have been considering going down the route of being a paralegal, which I've done myself, as I say, you might now look in a way to try and focus your skills more on the tech side, get a better understanding, maybe take part of your degree course in technology as well to get ahead of the game and focus more on the legal tech roles that are going to be coming up, because those will offer really good opportunities. Before, you had a choice to either become a paralegal and on a career paralegal or be a paralegal and then try to get into a law firm and become a lawyer. But I think now you could think about becoming a legal technologist or a legal engineer, not just following the same career path. And you, in time to come, I think those roles will be just as highly remunerated as some of the legal roles. So that's an exciting sort of proposition. It's not all doom and gloom. Also, even in terms of the administrative staff, there are lots of opportunities to work on a virtual basis now. And we're seeing, in the same ways you've got the growth of technology for other types of positions, we're certainly seeing a growth of, virtual PAs and virtual executive assistants online. So there are avenues that technology can provide to people, even though maybe roles within offices in central London with law firms, etc., will be reduced. There will be other opportunities springing up to fill the void, I think.
Amazing. That definitely makes a lot of sense. And also what you were saying about legal training and education, which is definitely going to be a big part of legal tech in the future. So that was a very, very interesting session. We've touched upon the balance in using technology, the globalization of legal recruitment and opportunities. We've also touched upon the benefits of using technology in legal recruitment, as well as some longer term trends. So I really want to thank you for your time, Jeremy. It was great to have your insight, and I look forward to hearing you again.
Thanks, Amanda. I really enjoyed it. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. If you're interested in legal tech and its impact on the legal industry, you can visit fortemarkets.com to keep up with all of our events, such as our Legal Tech Smarter coming up, our yearly Global Legal Tech Summit, and much more. Go to lti.institute to watch out for the Legal Technology and Innovation Certificate, the LTIC, which aims to bring a breadth of understanding and engagement to legal practitioners around the world to enable them to engage fully with all relevant technology.